Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Okay, the Apostle Paul, okay, as he is writing this here in chapter 5, verse 7, he's talking about, you did run well, who did hinder you? Okay, we would have to go back for a moment and reflect on some of the things we spoke earlier as concerning about those who preach in their gospel. Okay, the Apostle Paul is addressing at this time the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which is taking root within the Galatian region. Okay, and it was those that were zealous of the law of Moses, but were converted to Christ, okay, in regards to historical facts. They accepted the idea that Jesus did die on the cross for their sins, but they thought that perhaps that perfection, or that there had to be some kind of activity that you could identify your faith with. But the Nicolaitans, they began to identify the activity or faith with carnal things. So it became very appealing to the flesh in regarding to carnal contact points. Okay, and they began using again, okay, those things of Moses, okay, in order to perfect faith within them concerning the baptisms and the many washings, the communions, tithing, circumcision, observing in the Sabbath day. Okay, the Apostle Paul, okay, refer to this as troubling you. Okay. The reason why it was troubling is because the spoilers are causing the uneasiness in the soul by presenting these things, and the soul was not being settled in faith. Okay. You can't walk by the Spirit by using carnal things. Okay. But the Nicolaitans, or that gospel which is being preached, okay, had very strong flesh appeal, as he said to the Laodiceans. Hey, but thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, naked. Okay, well, they thought their eyes were open, okay, but took the Apostle John to point out to them, okay, that they were in a wretched state, okay, a wretched spiritual state. Okay, now, in that wretched spiritual state, they would not be inheritors of the throne of God, which we see in Revelation chapter 3. Okay, he that overcomes, what I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Okay, those which are in that wretched state, their spiritual growth was being thwarted and tainted, okay, by other forms of worship, okay, which they were claiming to be Christ. But of course, their idea of Christ was the image of Baal. Okay, we can see the conflicts that existed within that first covenant, under that which even David received. Okay, what David received is concerning the construction of the tabernacle, which took it from the skins, ram skins dyed red, into that which was of stone, okay, in the construction of Solomon's temple. Okay, there was a lot of conflict about that. Okay, and that became those which were carnal-minded, okay, tried to insist on building points of contact of remembrance, okay, concerning Moses, which became points of contacts that were unsanctified or unclean. Okay, and as Satan took that which is holy and defiled it, okay, by making images of it, and then of course, anything that you make an image of becomes a form of idolatry. And Satan made images of the Temple of Solomon, okay, in the land of Israel, and that became, okay, the false gospel, okay, the image of Baal. In other words, Satan took another form. Okay, Satan took the form of that religion. Okay, and that form of religion had a lot of flesh appeal, and I appeal to it. Okay, as the Apostle John brings out in 1 John chapter 2, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So instead of humbling the will through the restrictions of the covenant for faith to be exercised and sanctified, okay, it freed the will to exercise itself in the imagination about itself. Okay, working with the moral code. So the Apostle Paul, okay, stewarding this knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, to the Galatians, okay, was now correcting them as concerning the outcome, okay, of this new engrafting, this engrafting in the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, whereas also Paul wrote to the Colossians, okay, whereas he said, touch not, taste not, and handle not the things which perish with the using, after the doctrines and commandments of men. It's called the commandments of men because it has to do with the issues of the flesh, relationships, Okay, and also circumstances and world events. Okay, it addresses those things of this dimension. And those things which address the gospel, which addresses the things of this dimension and issues and relationships, is is a doctrine of Baal. Okay, Abel, B-A-A-L. Okay, well, Paul says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preaching the gospel unto you, then that which ye have preached unto you, then be accursed. He called that the perverted gospel. Okay, that Jesus being in the image of Baal, rather than the image of God. Okay, addressing those things which had to do with the struggles of the conscience, rather than the purging of the conscience. Those things which also were addressing the resolving the issues of the circumstances of life, rather than leading the heart into faith. Okay, so you did run well, he says. Okay, and this is in chapter 5, verse 7. Okay, in comparison to Mount Sinai in Arabia and a new Jerusalem, the holy city Jerusalem, which is in Mount Zion in heaven. Okay, the Apostle Paul is also making distinctions. Okay, that there's two kinds of Christianity present, just like there's two kinds of spirits in the world, or two kingdoms in this world. Okay, there's the Cain religion and the Abel religion. There's the Ishmael religion and the Isaac religion. There's the Esau religion and the Jacob religion. Okay, which means we can see that all these were brothers. Okay, and as Cain and Abel came from one parent, and also Esau and Jacob came from one parent. Okay, we can see that. And also Ishmael and Isaac came from one father, okay, that there was a conflict of interest, okay, as concerning ownership. Okay, Cain wanted to take ownership, okay, concerning his oath, okay, and that's why he murdered his brother Abel. And Esau was going to take ownership concerning his oath, and therefore murder Jacob. Okay, and Ishmael, if he wouldn't have been allowed, he would have cast off Isaac. And Isaac would have been the vagabond, okay, and Ishmael, okay, would have been an inheritor of the physical, okay, of the physical inheritance. Okay, but God broke it right down, always selecting one person, okay, as concerning the younger, okay, the elder shall serve the younger, okay. Even this was a curse which God put upon Satan, that he was the elder, but he shall be subject to the younger, okay, which concerns Adam. And that's why, as Christ is working within us, we overcome the works of darkness. Okay, because we are the younger, and we're overcoming the elder. Okay, because we're casting off the works of darkness. Okay, so Paul, talking about the perverted gospel, is identifying, okay, the forms of expression, okay, which that gospel would take. Okay, which would rival the truth, because it wants to stand in self-determination. As Esau wanted to stand in self-determination, he wanted to determine the rules of ruling, okay, and he was going to use his skills, okay, as a man of the field, okay, as a great hunter, and as a man of the field, that through compromise, okay, and through his own boasting, it was his boasting that brought a lot of problems on him, okay, and he had to compromise, and he made bad choices because of that, okay, and those choices that he made, okay, was rivaling his brother Jacob. Okay, and it was Jacob that finally overcame his brother and threw off the yoke of his brother. Okay, and of course Jacob then, overthrowing the yoke of his brother, case was in the next position to be used by God, as also Christ provided us. Okay, overthrowing the yoke of our first parent Satan, okay, to be adopted into the house of God, okay, through Jesus Christ, whereby we, as we said before, we cry Abba Father. Okay, as we're now expressing a new knowledge of the house of God, okay, through this priesthood of Jesus Christ. So Paul gave the Galatians this knowledge, and they did run well. They were walking in cadence with the Spirit as long as Paul was there. Okay, but as Paul continued to establish the saints, okay, in the new doctrine of Jesus Christ, okay, there were others that came behind him and began to insist upon forms of religion that could be identifiable or honored by man. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Okay, and the Apostle Paul says, if they want to do these things to you, okay, then they're obligated to do all the law, as he also brings out in the book of Philippians. Okay, in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about, okay, that we be another otherwise minded. Okay, and that's in chapter 3, Philippians 3:15. Okay, that let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Okay, the be minded is concerning taking on the behavior of the courts of God. Okay, which we're identifying now with a new kingdom and a new house. Okay, a new covenant, a whole new perspective of life. So he calls those, the spoilers, the dogs. Okay, he calls them the dogs, just like Jude calls them the dogs. Okay, but Jude calls them brute beasts. Okay, these are those that live by the instinct of Adam. Okay, they're following the instinct of Adam. Okay, and everything that they're interpreting, okay, within the Holy Scriptures, okay, is being incorporated within that form of thinking. Okay, which is defiled. The conscience isn't being clear. Okay, the conscience isn't being purged. Okay, but the will is set on a pattern, okay, of expressing itself, okay, apart from faith. But in chapter 3 of Philippians, as we're talking about the dogs right here, because he talks about the same thing when he says beware of dogs, it's the same thing he said in Galatians. Okay, when he talks about as concerning those which are which would throw their faith off, okay, as being aware of those. Well, that's why he calls them foolish Galatians, because they were bewitching them. But he says, beware of dogs, which those which are living by instinct. But we are the true circumcision, he says in 3:3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Now he'll be bringing it out in Galatians here. We worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, now he's going to identify for us what he means by the flesh. It means when he talks about the flesh, he's talking about the law of Moses. Okay, the law of Moses identifies forms of activity, okay, which are identifiable with the carnal mind, or carnal eye. Okay, and he says right here, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is law blameless. But then he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, that is within that system, whereas he received honor and will worship, I count a loss for Christ. Because he began to understand, when he says he counted them lost, he says, these things were the hindrances to my faith in the first place. And this is what Paul brings out to the Galatians. Who did hinder you? As concerning an obedience to Christ. Who hindered you in these things? Well, I didn't hinder you in these things. Okay, but somebody else began to provide a different pattern for your expression. Your priesthood then centered upon your issues rather than upon faith. Okay, it centered upon a pleasing man more than God. So, and that's what he brings out in chapter 1. If I yet please men, if I address the issues of your life, then I'm not really the servant of Christ, because the servant of Christ is bringing you and helping you understand the value of your priesthood. Okay. If you understand the value of your priesthood, you're not going to get looped within your problems. Okay. It doesn't mean problems aren't there. It's just not you get looped in them. Okay. Being looped in a problem just means you began to view all these things in the light of your own frailty. Because you think if you get your life in order, then these things will go away. The bad things, you know, the boogeyman will go away. The bad things of your life will suddenly dissipate and go away. Okay. And that's not true. Okay, the thing of it is that it's your perspective needs to be changed. Okay, and then you begin to view these things in a whole different light. Okay, so here he says when he talks about as pleasing men, he's talking about addressing those things. So he begins his whole epistle with this concept, in this perspective. When he's addressing his stewardship and his responsibility, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, not of the affairs of life, not the relationships, not the issues. So he says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Okay, we're working with a witness which is from above. Okay, whereas it's God that resolved these things as you please Him. All right. Now back to Galatians chapter 5 verse 7. So you did run well. Okay, you were in cadence with the things of the Spirit when you're functioning in your priesthood. So who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Okay, the truth, when he says the word right here, the word truth, he's talking about something that's setting order to your boundaries. Okay, so truth sets order to the boundaries, and by the setting order to the boundaries, you're able to identify the works of the flesh. So you're able to crucify it. If you can't identify the works of the flesh, you can't crucify it. If you don't understand what the tools are, which keeps the flesh alive, okay, in the moral code, okay, shielding your the moral code then becomes shielding your reason rather than purging the conscience. Now, you begin to view everything from that perspective, and it blinds you. So underline the word truth there in verse 7. We know what truth is because truth is facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, consistency. Truth is a consistency, and Jesus identified himself as that truth. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was identifying himself as a standard of a consistency. I set the boundaries for your obedience. If you keep my commandments, then you show your love for me, for if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember how many times Jesus said that? Okay, he said it, and he reiterated it over and over again to his apostles. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Because his commandments has to do with it orders our activity, okay, to please him. It orders our behavior. Okay, it's like an ox's goad. Okay, an ox goad. Okay, keeps the ox on the road. And truth is like an ox goad. It keeps you on the path and keeps you in the direction of the owner. Okay, the owner wants you to go in this direction. Okay, he smites you with truth, or he smites you with that rod. Okay, in order to give you a little incentive for mobility. Okay, and also to keep you in the way. And the lashes of truth upon our own soul continues to keep us in mind of our responsibility, the responsibility of our priesthood, and that we keep walking. See, that's why it says the just shall walk by faith and live by faith. Okay, our activity must be in cadence, okay, with the gout of his truth, the ox gout. Okay, so that, but the ox, of course, he's ignorant of the design of his master. But the master is not ignorant of the design of the ox. Okay? Now the master could put a map out, and he could ask the ox to read it. And he says, "Okay, I want you to go from here to the next city, okay, and go to this address." But he'd be speaking to an ignorant beast, a brute beast. The brute beast can't read. The brute beast does not reason, but the brute beast does live by its appetites of its own signature. So if the owner loaded up the ox cart, okay, full of goods, okay, and told the ox to go to this address, the ox would have went out the gate and ended up in a neighbor's field, and have been sitting out there all day eating. Okay, in other words, the merchandise never got to his destination. Okay, because the ox was left to his own instinct. God did not leave us to our instincts. He gave us the holy knowledge, okay, which takes this form of truth in order to help us to identify what our responsibility is. Okay, that we are not as brute beasts. Okay, that God has assigned us to exercise our sovereignty with his knowledge for reward. Okay, but he uses truth in order to keep us in a right perspective. Okay, and the ox goad, okay, as truth is, keeps us mobile, keeps us walking, keeps us going in the direction. Okay, that will be prosperous for the soul. So highlight the word truth here in verse 7. So the Apostle Paul set the Galatians on the right road. And he gave them knowledge, all right, and also the elders that were present there, but to keep the saints in mind of the responsibility, to guide them, to keep them moving of growth, okay, so that they will not be little children in their thinking any longer, okay, but they will continue to progress, okay, to the next level of their understanding as little young men, okay, and not remain sufficed with that. But continually be guided by truth, okay, and go unto fathers. And this is what the Apostle John addresses. Okay, the Apostle John, as the Apostle Paul agrees to this, okay, says, little children, these things I write unto you, that sin not. Okay, so the Apostle John, in writing that letter, was addressing the mindset of little children. The mindset of little children are looped with their frailty. They don't understand that they speak in tongues, okay, and that they have reciprocated the knowledge of God, but why is it they're still struggling, okay, with their conscience? Well, they're struggling with their conscience simply because is that they're trying to set a path of remission to carnal things. And you can't set a path. Remission is not in carnal things. Remission is in the spirit. Okay, remission is in the spirit. Now, remission has to do with that. It's reversing the adverse effects of Satan's kingdom in a soul. Okay, in truth. Okay, it's like a vitamin pill. Okay, or it's like an aspirin. Let's put it this way: it puts aspirin puts brings relief. Okay, or let's say it brings remission. Okay, to the adverse effects. Okay, in truth, puts in remission the adverse effects upon iniquity, which had its standing presence in the soul when Satan was ruling you. Okay, now, if Satan rules through carnal things, why do we want to go back to use them? It was carnal activity that caused our first parent, Adam, to fall. Okay, why is it that we want to continually embrace those things which work iniquity? Okay, so the circumcision of the heart, okay, by that knife of truth, will free us, okay, from that tethering of Satan's kingdom. So not only does he separate us from the, not only does truth separate us from the kingdom of darkness, but it removes all of Satan's imprints and stains, okay, upon the soul. And when his truth removes these stains upon the soul, okay, then we are as without blemish before him. So highlight the word truth there in verse 7. Okay, so the truth now, this sets order to the boundaries. And by setting order to boundaries, we can understand what it means to be crucified with Christ. Okay, we're putting to death those powers which work with the moral code, which has to do with the imagination. The imagination is being subdued, okay, as Paul brings out in Romans. Okay, or in Corinthians there. Okay, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, but every thought can't be brought to obedience to Christ until, okay, the soul is established by the foundation of truth. Okay, so it sets in order the boundaries to crucify the powers of the moral code, so faith can, at that point, be manifested. Okay, and faith is manifested with a knowledge for reason. Now, in verse 8, he says about persuasion. Now, persuasion has to do with a certain form of behavior. Okay, if you're tethered to Satan's kingdom, then your behavior is ordered by him. Your whole perspective of life, is always looking for the breach. Okay, where our perspective of life, those which are tethered to the oath of Christ, okay, our perspective is the bridge. We continue to walk according to that bridge, okay, which is faith. The breach is the works of death. So the persuasion, Paul's saying right here in verse 8, is talking about the works of death. How can your spiritual life be made perfect by the works of death? It can't. Death accompanies those things which are subject to time. Anything that springs of the soil, okay, and anything that's marked by time, okay, death accompanies it, okay, because it's in portions. Okay, death accompanies it, but Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. Okay, death cannot touch him. Okay, if death can't touch him, okay, our faith does. Okay, if our faith touches him, see, then we rule over death. Okay, by the power of Christ. Okay, we rule over those things. Okay, which our flesh wants to. Okay, it wants to gravitate to. The flesh wants to gravitate those things which we feel we have control of, but that's an illusion. And we'll be talking about that here in a moment, is concerning that illusion. Okay. So this persuasion, being the oath of behavior, comes not of him. Okay. It comes not of that which is of Christ. It comes not of him, Christ, that calls you. Now, he calls us to the priesthood. He calls us to increase in the soul. Without the priesthood, there's no increase. Without truth, there's no order. Okay. Without government, there's no control, okay, or guidance. Okay, as a master would his oxen. There's no guidance. So everything is then left to the inequity, okay, of the moral code. Okay, everything at that point bears thorns and briars. Okay, but the sign of Christ is the order of the soul for increase. Isaiah 55 talks about it. Isaiah 55:13. Okay, so a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump, okay? Because the spoiler weakens the will by the oath of that traditions. The oath of tradition is tethered to the moral code, okay? The oath of these traditions, okay, is tethered to the moral code, and of course the moral code at this point is being defined by false knowledge. The spoiler, okay? The spoiler spoils the soul. That's why we call them spoilers, okay? It was the spoilers that brought all this calamity. Okay, of the wrath of God into this dimension. Okay, when Satan came in this dimension, he was a spoiler. And all those that are tethered to this kingdom are spoilers. Okay, everything that they do, okay, is tainted, okay, from that perspective. Okay, even the knowledge of God is tainted by that perspective, as we see the engagement between the Pharisees and Jesus. Okay, the Pharisees, when they engaged Jesus, were trying to engage him by that which is tainted and triturated, okay, of the moral code, which was tethered to precept. Okay, but Jesus was teaching a new tradition, okay, which was freeing the soul to the liberty of fruit bearing, the liberty of that faith. Okay, but the Pharisees wanted to continue to keep the soul, okay, looped, okay, to the frailty of the flesh. Okay, whereas it would be either honored by man or condemned by man. Okay, let's go to verse 10 here. I have confidence in you, O Lord. Now, the word confidence right here is, an I know that the things which I am saying will strengthen your behavior for obedience of faith. I have confidence in you, in the Lord. Okay, so I believe that the things which I'm sharing with you, Paul said to the Galatians right here, will strengthen the behavior. Okay, and only the Spirit can do this. Okay, so that's why it says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. That means the Spirit will strengthen your behavior for faith, that you be none otherwise minded, as we brought out there in Philippians earlier. Okay, that you would stand, that you will not stand in self-determination, but stand in faith. Okay, self-determination is a part of owning one's own logic. Okay, owning one's logic is that they will select something, okay, of the issues of life or precept, okay, and stand to its own justification. They will stand to that own, their own justification in that. And they will use their own logic as a shield, okay, against the grace of God. Okay, because the grace of God, when it's present, okay, it demands the removal of that. It remains to see, it's like when the sun rises. When the sun begins to rise, okay, the mist or the fog begins to melt away. And when the grace of God is present, the mist that's upon the heart, okay, begins to melt away, okay, and the vessel begins to behold things that it didn't see before. A clarity or a dawning or an illumination takes place, okay, for the soul to accept or to reciprocate this knowledge for faith, so that God can reward that soul with the seal for conversion. Okay, so it could be, so now it could be fruitful and receive that internal inheritance. So as I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. Okay, not to stand in self-determination. Okay, but he that troubles you, as the spoilers, that will trouble you, shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So you might want to underline the word the trouble, okay, the word trouble there. Or it causes you to be confounded. Now, false knowledge causes the soul to be double-minded. And as James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't serve God being double-minded. Okay, double-mindedness is a one step of doubt. Okay, one step of doubt, and we know doubt is a daughter of the devil. Okay, that Satan wants to keep the soul in a state of neutrality. Okay, because this is what the Lord said there, and to the Laodiceans, you are neither hot nor cold, and that's neutrality. And I would that you were hot or cold. Okay, are you going to walk by faith being hot, or are you going to remain in doubt and be cold? Okay, but you can't stay in the middle here. Okay, either you're going to be functioning in the priesthood, okay, or you're going to break the bone. Okay, you're going to sever yourself from the government of God. If you sever yourself from the government of God, of course you're going to remain in a wretched state. Okay, a state of condemnation. Okay, but if you amend your ways, that means as to put plaster upon the broken bone, okay, then you'll be healed, and you can walk with me. But as long as the bone is broken, you're not walking with me. Okay, in other words, you're bedfast. Okay, but if you desire to walk with me, then I will put plaster upon the broken bone, and then we will fellowship together. We will walk together. So the word troubled right there also has to do with the spoiler. It was the spoilers that cause the uneasiness in the soul, not faith. Okay, spoilers cause the uneasiness in the soul, not faith. Okay, false knowledge also troubles. Okay. As we go on here. So he that would trouble you shall bear his judgment. In other words, God is going to assign that individual, the spoiler, a strong delusion. Okay, by sending an evil angel. Okay, and he, as a spoiler, okay, is only going to gather the tares. He's not going to gather the wheat. He's going to be gathering the tares together. In other words, his ministry, okay, will be the ministry of the tares, not the ministry of the wheat. Okay, if you're a ministry of the tares, if your ministry is trying to appeal to the tares, okay, that is the ministry of the flesh. Okay, the tares, okay, will only exact your time and your energy and your attention and everything that you have. They will rob everything from you, okay, and give you nothing in return. Okay, maybe some flattery, okay, but that's not going to last long. Okay, that's not the fruit. That's not the fruit of righteousness. Okay, the tares will exhaust the individual to the point of, okay, of burnout. Okay, and that's where you can see where pastor burnout comes from. See, the pastor, when a church is full of tares, there might be a few grains of wheat there. Okay, but what happens is that the tares will always dominate the wheat in the congregation of the wicked. Okay, the tares will always dominate the wheat. And when wheat, all right, are in the presence of the tares, okay, you feel that you're being judged. Okay, even when you want to express faith, okay, or encourage them, okay, the tares will always take an encouragement as an offense. Okay, and the tares will always measure the wheat as being heady, okay, or out of step. Okay, and you are out of step. You're not heady. You're just out of step with them. Okay, so the tares, they judge things according to the moral code, and they will exact everything from you. Okay, because the tares want you to be their conscience. So in order for you to be their conscience, okay, they're always going to exact out of you, okay, concerning the issues and relations of life. Okay, but the priesthood is what the wheat use, and by the priesthood, it frees you to serve Christ. Okay, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, instead of competing with your neighbor, you're loving your neighbor. The tares like to compete. They always compare themselves among themselves. Okay, and by comparing, they're trying to resolve the issues of their own conscience. Okay, rather than walking by faith. Walking by faith will resolve those issues. Okay, because it's removed from the issues to your redemption. The gospel of the tares, it has to do with resolving issues. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the knowledge of your redemption. Okay? And all your sacrifices reflect that. Yet you are the redeemed of the Lord because you're affirming his work within you. All right, so Paul goes on here. Right? Now he uses the word cut off. I would they, that is the tares, okay, that they were even cut off which trouble you. Okay, so the word cut off has to do with the precept of the law breaks the bone. All right, the precept of the law breaks the bone of faith. Okay, and it scatters the confidence. So those spoilers are defiling the land as bleached bones upon the ground. Okay, and you read that in the book of the prophets. Okay, and like in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, okay, concerning the bones. Okay, that when Jerusalem, okay, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, okay, even the graves, okay, were dug up and the bones were scattered abroad, okay, which shows the defiling land. If the soul is defiled, so is the land. Okay, and God was giving this as a visual to the people. Okay, this land is contaminated simply because there's no faith in your heart. Okay, and so when Paul says, I would they were cut off, okay, that they would be also scattered about, okay, scattered abroad. Okay, the bone, okay, removes, incapacitates the vessel. Okay, and so he goes on here. Okay, for brethren, verse 13, you have been called into liberty. Okay, and the calling of the liberty has to do with that grace frees the heart. Okay, the graces of God, grace frees the heart to reason for faith, while the law tethers the soul to the view of frailty to free you to sin. Okay, the law frees you to sin, but the grace frees you to righteousness. This is what Paul brings out in Romans. Okay. that we have been freed, or our liberty is that now we are free to righteousness. Okay, free from righteousness, untethered from Satan's kingdom. Okay, but if you're free to the law, okay, you are free now to exercise your frailty in religious forms, but you're tethered to a kingdom of darkness. Those are the ones that trouble you. Okay, so let's go back up here again around verse 11. Okay, as when Paul says concerning the judgment, I will assign a disillusion, okay, disillusionment to these people by sending an evil angel, okay, because they're not listening to my grace, so I will assign them to a lie. Thessalonians talks about that. Okay, verse 11, I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, now there's the word circumcision there in verse 11, okay, that is, if my gospel is of Moses, okay, or if our faith is only the heritage of our fathers, then why do we yet suffer persecution? Okay, if my gospel is by my own aspiration, if I am standing in my own self-determination, okay, why is it that these spoilers, okay, are trying to resist? Okay, if I'm doing that, but I'm not doing that. Okay, if I was doing that, okay, then the spoilers, then I'd be consenting to the things of the flesh. Okay, but I stand in His grace. Okay, and the spoilers stand opposing the grace of God. Okay, because they want to feel that they're in control. Okay, the imagination. Okay, the spoilers are using the law of Moses to control the imagination. Okay, but faith replaces it. Okay, the imagination, because we see the reality of God by faith. Okay, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do we yet suffer persecution? And also have to endure their self-determination. Then is the offense of the cross cease. Now, when he talks about the cross right here, okay, we're not talking about a piece of wood. Okay, we're talking about the covenant on that wood. Okay, but he uses this illustration as concerning the suffering, the shame that went with it. Okay, so when Jesus, okay, when his visage was marred more than any man, okay, the image of the loss of light, okay, was hostily aggressed against, okay, in order to bring us the light of God. Okay, I mean, the very opposite is true there. See, Adam, when he lost his light, he lost his light because of his tethering to Satan. Okay, and losing that light, God gave him a new form. Okay, a new form which he have to express himself through, which is called the flesh, the skin. Okay, now when Jesus came into this world, right, he was not born in the sense of the engagement of the Adamite. Okay, but he did take our form for the purpose of redemption. Okay, okay, and so going to the cross, okay, he was showing us the hostility that God had toward the image of Satan, okay, as concerning the flesh. Okay, that the flesh, in order to see God, the flesh would have to be removed. Okay, so the purpose of this covenant is removing the image of Satan in the flesh. Okay, providing us truth, grace, truth. Okay, in order to see the image of God. Okay, so, and he goes on here. When he talks about the cross now, he's talking about the covenant. So you might want to highlight the word cross there and put the word covenant over that. The wood standing itself is meaningless. It was taking place on that wood, okay, on the cross. Okay, as concerning removing the power of the moral code, okay, by providing a new power for faith to be expressed with, which is Jesus Christ. He is that new power. In verse 12, okay, so I would they were cut off, which trouble you. And we talked about that, okay, the word cut off there. Okay, as to removing or to scatter the bones, to scatter the bones on the ground. Okay, and we also talk about liberty a little bit, but let's just highlight that, the word liberty in verse 13. So in verse 13 there, for brethren, you have been called on liberty. So grace frees the heart to reason, or grace frees the heart to reason for faith, while the law tethers the soul to the view of frailty to free you to sin. Because he talks about here as we go on, what it means by that, the freedom to sin, okay, in the works of the flesh, verse 19. Okay, but I want to work up to that point. Let me read verse 13 again. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh. Okay, but by love, which not precept, he says, but by love. So you might want to highlight the word love there in verse 13 and write the word not precept over that. Okay, we don't love each other with scripture. We love each other with charity. So our expression of charity is based upon the pattern of our freedom. Okay, we're free to serve Christ in our priesthood, a new priesthood. Okay, the order of Melchizedek, where we are in service to God by this pattern, which we're now free to serve him with, without condemnation of Moses' law. Okay, but by love, serve one another. We serve each other in priesthood, and we'll be doing that here in a few minutes. Okay, serving each other through priesthood. Okay, in the present established religious system, you can see the discrepancies in that. And the design itself is a discrepancy. Okay, because everything is focused, the focus of it, okay, it has to do with removing an activity of priesthood to be idle, okay, to receive knowledge without expression. Okay, but we can see in the true function of the government of God frees every saint to work righteousness, okay, in his priesthood. So the false religious system, okay, demands an activity, okay, of being neutral. Okay, or an activity which is misleading. Okay, but that which is in God's government, all right, frees us to function in our priesthood. So all the law is fulfilled in one word. Of course, that word is Christ. See the word fulfilled in verse 14? All the law is fulfilled. Okay, Jesus is the fullness of that expression now. That's what Jesus said himself. Jesus said it himself in Matthew there, chapter 5, right, whereas he says, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Okay, the fulfilling of it, which means those things which were perpetually put within Moses' covenant will now be perpetual through me. Okay, as I am fulfilling these things, so that when you join yourself to me, you have entered your Sabbath of rest. And when you join yourself to me, you are now free to serve God with a new priesthood, okay, but not with carnal things, because I have those things were fulfilled in myself. So all the law is fulfilled in one word. That word is Christ, okay, in one word. So you might want to capitalize the word there, okay, because he's talking about Christ there, okay, and the word and the law is fulfilled in Christ. So all the law is fulfilled in one word, one person, Jesus Christ. Now, and then he says, but Paul goes on to explain, and this word is what we express with. This is how we now love our neighbor. Okay, we love our neighbor by this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so we're preaching the bridge, not the breach. The breach is what spoils the soul. The bridge, okay, is what causes increase. Okay, the breach is what defiles the conscience and keeps the soul in a state of inactivity. Okay, the God code is not being productive. Okay, with the breach, but the God code is productive with the bridge. Okay, and that bridge is this word, Jesus Christ. Now, verse 15, as I spoke earlier about liberty, the liberty to sin. Paul's saying this right here, verse 15, but if you bite and devour each other. Okay, so this is a God code in reverse. Okay, in reverse is like, trying to get into your destiny by putting the car in reverse. So put here, bite and devour, God code plus the moral code, okay, equals loss. Okay, because you're trying to set order to your loss. You're trying to set order to darkness. You're trying to set order to, you see, the precept, okay, and you can't do that. Okay? The illusion, it produces an illusion, but doesn't produce the reality. Fruit is a reality of the God code with faith, okay, but loss is a reality with the God code, with the moral code. So now Paul is showing them right here being free to sin. If you bite and devour each other, see, if you use your sovereignty with the precept, okay, it's going to make you productive in reverse. So the bite and devour, highlight that word, bite and devour, in verse 15 there. You bite and devour each other by the precept and the moral code, because death rules the heart by carnal things, and the flesh carries the testimony of death, the image of death. Again, this helps define your discernment. Okay, knowing what kingdom people are speaking from. See, the false prophetic movement bites and devours. Okay, because they're trying to bring control. Okay, through a word. Okay, that's biting, devouring, and I'll read this here in a moment. As concerning that, it bites and devours. It does not issue to build. Okay, but it focuses upon the frailty of the flesh. It always addresses frailty of the flesh. Okay. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed. Okay, by the precept, take heed that you be not consumed one another, because death will always accompany this knowledge, the false knowledge. Death accompanies the false knowledge. Okay, it's like maggots on a carcass. Okay, the carcass, as it continues to corrupt, okay, it's progressing into corruption. Okay, so the worm on the carcass devours, and that's what this is what the false knowledge does. False knowledge is like the maggot, like the worm. Okay, it seems to be progressing, but the worm is only getting fat, and the carcass is getting smaller. Okay, but that's what we call God code going in reverse. Okay, the God code working with death is as a maggot devouring the carcass, but the God code working with faith is as a calf feeding in the field. Okay, is feeding in a field increasing. Okay. Verse 16 here. Now, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Okay, now this is the word walk again. Now, if plaster is upon the broken bone, which this is what Paul is doing, I'm giving you plaster of truth in order to strengthen the legs so you can walk on it. So now walking on this, let's get our perspectives properly ordered, and this is what truth would do. It properly orders your perspective, and your behavior would be according to Christ. So walk in the Spirit. Now you're in rhythm with the kingdom of God. As you're functioning in your priesthood, you're in rhythm with the kingdom of God. You're in rhythm with the Spirit. This is the miracle of God's kingdom manifesting itself in this dimension of the flesh. That is a miracle. This is the kingdom which Jesus was preaching when he was on earth. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And speaking of himself, Jesus was saying, be joined to me. Touch me. Okay. If you're joined to me, okay, you will enter God's care. And we can see that this took place when Jesus stilled the waters and the wind ceased and he walked on water and we fed the 5,000, okay, and we fed the 3,000. Okay, and when he fed the multitudes of people, it was only because they were joined to him. Okay, they were now being joined to him. They were in rhythm with the Spirit. See, so God did care for their needs, but they first had to make the commitment of walking with him. So they followed Jesus from the cities into the wilderness. Okay, they were now walking in rhythm with him. Okay, this is an example. As the people stayed with Moses, they were cared for. Okay, but those that wandered became victims of the Amorites, okay, or the Amalekites when they came out of the mountains. The Amalekites, they began to slaughter the stragglers. Okay, it wasn't because the stragglers were the feeble, okay, particularly, okay, but the stragglers were those which were like the opportunists, okay, and those which the opportunists, okay, they were consumed by the Amalekites when they came down and attack them, because they didn't keep up with the rest. They were not walking with the Spirit. So those that are slow to believe become victimize themselves, like a child wandering out of the city wall. If a child wanders outside the city, okay, he becomes the leopard watches the city to see the weak. And when a little child wanders outside the city, or when a goat wanders outside of its corral, okay, the lion awaits. And it will attack and try to scatter. Okay, to scatter or just attack and take it. Okay, so all those that are not walking with him in the Spirit become food for the wolf. Okay, because the leopard watches the city to devour. He's not watching the city to guard it. He's watching the city for his next feeding. Now, verse 16. So this I say. I say this then to you Galatians. Walk in the Spirit. Okay, walk in cadence, or let your activity be in cadence of faith. By using the priesthood, you're walking in the Spirit. Okay? Walking in the Spirit is not, okay, some kind of a concept. It's a reality. Okay, it's a reality. It's not talking to somebody, you know, it's not some disillusionment. When I was a young Christian, I did think walking in the Spirit had to do with just initiating something and then waiting God to catch up to me. Okay, so it's like God saying, okay, son, you just do what you want, and I'll catch up to you later on. Okay, now it's not walking in the Spirit. Okay, walking in the Spirit, which means that you are following it. It's not following you. Okay, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, okay, they had to keep up with the angel. Okay, the angel did not have a hard time keeping up with the children of Israel. They had a hard time keeping up with him, though. Okay, because they had to follow the angel. Wherever the angel went, they were there to take down their tents, pack up the carriages, you know, and pack up the luggage and follow him. Okay, I remember being taught when I went to the Bible school that if the Spirit doesn't move you, you move the Spirit. That's what I was taught. In other words, you initiate something and let God catch up to you. But that's not what the Bible says. But that was the teachings of intuitive faith. Because intuitive faith works with the aspiration. The aspiration continues to project or the probabilities of outcome. Okay? And all the probabilities of outcome are then measured by the precept. Okay? And Satan enters into that perception. And when things don't dish out or met out, see, according to your probabilities, then you believe that God has failed you. But the opposite happened. You failed God. You weren't walking in cadence with him. Okay, you were wanting God to catch up with you as if God is some winded old man, you know, and you're some young kid running way out there ahead of him. He's not a winded old man, okay? But we are to follow him. So this I say in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, in other words, you will not seek closure by precept. That's the lust of flesh. You will not seek closure by precept. Because the closure of the precept is the illusion of the intuitive faith. Okay, the closure of precept is the illusion of the intuitive faith. The intuitive faith, again, works with the moral code. Okay, because you're extrapolating, okay, scripture. Okay, and you're trying to live through event theology. Okay, but the Spirit will not work with that. See, that's what the beast is going to do in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, the beast is going to live through event theology, and he's going to pretend he's Joseph or pretend he's a Daniel. He's going to pretend he's Aaron or Moses. Okay, you're going to see the trio there, the first beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. Okay, they're going to, by precept, live through event theology, even calling fire down from heaven like Elijah did. Okay, so the beast is going to have an aggressive evangelistic program going on, and many people would be converted to him. But instead of filling out a membership card, they're going to have to stand in line and receive a mark. Okay, and by this mark, see, it proves that they have their capabilities. Okay, and social and economic conditions will change, according to the concept of the beast. Okay, so he's going to live through event theology. Okay, that's the spirit of the world. Okay, but the spirit of God does not work with event theology. Okay, if it was event theology, okay, then Jesus would have tried to imitate it somebody. Or somebody would have been the mentor. Okay, a mentor of one's Christian faith, okay, through event theology. You know, it's like picking a Bible character and using that Bible character as a mentor. Okay? But the Bible character can't be a mentor because you're going to read into the life of that person, okay, everything of your own experience of life, and you're going to try to confirm or justify everything by that person, okay, rather than faith. Okay? So it's the priesthood. But now let's go on here about biting and devouring here. Okay, this I say, walk in the Spirit, cadence of your priesthood and faith, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which work with carnal things. Now, this is the expression of this. The flesh always addresses the frailty of man, and it always works with the man's confusion. So you might want to write this word down, work the word confounded down. Okay, confounded. Okay, the confounded means has to split or scatter the thinking. Okay, to split or scatter in thinking, okay, the thinking and logic, and the logic of the law, or in place of reason of faith. so as to split and scatter the thinking in one's logic. And that's what God does to the wicked. Okay, God confounds the wicked. He splits and scatters their thinking, okay, the thinking of their own logic, okay, when a manifestation, okay, of truth is present, okay, he scatters them. All right, so biting and devouring has to do again with working that law, the law of Moses and the moral code. Okay, and here, of course, it was circumcision, but even today, it's the same thing, same issues. Okay, things haven't changed in over 1,000 years. Okay, as concerning this confusion. So this I say, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Now, and he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Okay, here the Apostle Paul is identifying these two kingdoms. Okay, there's two kingdoms that are present. Okay, one of these, which is the moral code, okay, will dine on these issues. Okay, it always addresses these issues, whereas the Spirit of God dines on truth, okay, and addresses your faith. Okay, the Spirit of God dines on truth and addresses your faith, so that you're looped from life to life, grace to grace, an increase of wisdom upon wisdom, and knowledge upon knowledge, and growing in spiritual understanding. Okay, that's what you want to be looped to. You don't want to be looped to these things, because it always addresses these things. This is why Paul's bringing this out. Now, he says these two kingdoms are contrary to each other. Okay, one the flesh wants to bring closure by precept. Okay, but those of faith find equity of heart, okay, and the peace of God accompanies that, see? The peace of God accompanies your faith. That's why Paul begins his letters. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace. Okay, because he's helping us understand that the true equity of the soul, okay, is with the tools of the covenant. Okay, equity cannot be found, or closure can't be found in the flesh, because it's always like a back door to it. It's like plugging one hole and another one comes up. Okay. Now, for the flesh does against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So underline the word contrary. Okay, they work against each other. Okay. There's no communion between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. Okay, there is no fellowship between Satan and Jesus, as Paul brings out. Okay, and yet we see that the spoilers are always trying to bridge these kingdoms. They're trying to bridge the kingdoms, but these are contrary to each other. It's like trying to bridge fire and water together. Okay, you can't bridge fire and water together. Okay, they're hostile against each other. Okay, and the same thing with truth and error. Okay, let's go on here. Now, these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, because each is restricted to their kingdom. That's why he says here, okay, the sovereignty of man, okay, is going to be subject to one, tether to one kingdom or the other kingdom. Okay, so, but if you want the kingdom of God, you must use the tools of the kingdom of God. But he goes on here, so this is what the law addresses. But he says here, verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, that means we're not under the law. Being not under the law, we are free. Okay, we are free for the reason of our faith. Okay, we are free to righteousness. We are freer to bear fruit to God. Okay, but if you're tethered to the law only addresses these things, which has to do with the man's frailty and the fruit of Satan's kingdom. Okay, and I believe this is a good place to stop, but we'll pick up right here next week. Okay, at this time, I'm going to